Amen. It's good to be here tonight. Amen. Amen. The front row's glad we're here. Let's everybody wake up. It's time to go to church. Amen. I said it's good to be here. Amen. Amen. I appreciate the Lord. I appreciate what He's doing and what He has done and what He continued to do. The Lord has certainly been good to us. And I appreciate the cardboard testimony. Amen. I watched that video about 2 days ago from the last one you did with Brother Jacob when he was here. And that was certainly an encouragement to our heart. We love Brother Jacob. He came to our church last Sunday and preached. And we're actually praying about doing a youth meeting together. Brother Jacob's a blessing to me and I love him. It's certainly a joy to be here. I appreciate the opportunity to be here and I don't take it lightly. I don't take it for granted. It's good to see familiar faces and some of y'all that I've seen. I was telling my parents on the way up here, I remember the first time I came here and we went to y'all's house and we had hot dogs and all that out there and I'd got bee stung on Saturday night at their house. And I remember Sunday morning all those little elderly women came in with a big old toolbox full of medicine wanting to take care of the preacher. Amen. They all wanted to doctor me up and I appreciate that. Y'all got a pretty church and I appreciate this place. I appreciate what it means to us. And we've certainly been praying for y'all and for the remainder of this meeting. And we know that you'll continue to pray for us. It felt intimidating to me whenever I got the flyer in the mail and I saw my name and all the other men of God's name, especially Brother Rick Safer. That brother right there, man, he's a man of God and I love him. And he's coming in tomorrow night. Is that correct? And I will certainly be praying for y'all here. It was intimidating to see my picture next to him. Amen. I thought, Lord have mercy. But I appreciate the Lord tonight, don't you? I mean, he's glad to be saved tonight. Amen. I'm just going to read one verse tonight out of Ecclesiastes chapter number 10. Ecclesiastes 10, and we'll just read one verse, and I'll try to give you what the Lord's put inside of our heart. I've wrestled back and forth with what to preach on tonight. And this morning, our pastor, when he read his text, he was praying over the text, getting ready to preach. And he said something in his prayer that confirmed in my heart what I was supposed to preach on tonight. I appreciate the Lord for working that out. Amen. If you're able tonight, would you stand and find Ecclesiastes chapter number 10 in your Bible? We'll read one verse and we'll try to give you exactly what the Lord's put inside of our heart. Nothing more, nothing less. And y'all that are saved, y'all be praying. If there's somebody here that's lost, they won't leave that way. Amen. There's somebody here that's lost. I don't want them to leave that way. I don't want them to leave lost. I want them to get saved. Amen. I want them to get born again. I want them to not leave here the same way they came. And that one that's saved but they're backslid, I don't want them to leave that way. That one that's discouraged, I don't want them to leave that way. God knows exactly what you need. And I promise you this, He's more than enough to take care of whatever's wrong in your life. And I appreciate the Lord tonight. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, look at verse number 8. Like I said, we'll just read one verse and we'll try to give you what the Lord's put inside of our heart. Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 8, the Bible says, "He that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent shall bite him." Let's read it one more time. "He that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent shall bite him." Father, I love you tonight. Lord, I thank you, God, for this tremendous opportunity, Father. Lord, that you've given us one more time to come into this place, God, to preach, God, not what I want to say, not what anybody else wants to hear, Father, but to preach, God, what thus saith the Lord. Father, I want to be obedient tonight. Well, I've wrestled and I've struggled, God, with what you'd have me to say, but Father, I feel in my heart that this is the text and this is the thought, Father, that you'd have us to preach tonight. I pray, Father, this one more time. I only got one chance to do this message right. This congregation will never be the same again. But I pray, God, that you would bind every power of the devil tonight. I pray, God, you'd move every hindrance out of the way. I pray that you'd cleanse me of my mind, cleanse me of my pride, cleanse me of my flesh, everything that has to do with me tonight, Father. I pray that you'd take it out of the way. And I pray that you'd fill me up with the Holy Ghost. I pray you'd give me just the words to say. But Father, nothing more and certainly nothing less. And for that one that needs something from you tonight, Father, Lord, I pray in the good name of Jesus that you draw them to this altar. Help none of us to leave the same way we came. I pray you do an eternal work tonight. And I promise you that when it's all said and done, that I won't touch the glory. I'll give it all to the Lord. I love you tonight and I thank you. In Jesus' name tonight, amen. You can be seated. Now, we know the writer here, Solomon, we know the wisest man in the Bible had wrote this book, but we know that Solomon is here and he's warning us about some things. He talks about, in the part of this chapter, about whosoever will break an hedge, a serpent shall bite him. But you want to get real close tonight with where you're living and where I'm living at. We need to take inventory of our heart and our life tonight and realize that if we break the hedges that are in our life, listen, it's dangerous ground out there. I'd like to go ahead and go on record and say it. I'm glad to be a born again, Holy Ghost filled. Listen, I'm glad I'm saved tonight. Amen. I'm glad at that moment when I got saved, I was 8 years old. I'd never drunk. I'd never smoked. I'd never done drugs. Never lived like the devil. Never stole. Never cussed. Never done anything wrong. But I was bound to the same devil's hell as the most vile, wicked sinner that's ever lived. I was bound to the same hell, but I went to the same altar. I got washed in the same blood. I met the same Lord. I got filled with the same Holy Ghost. And I'm preaching the same word tonight. I'm glad I'm saved tonight. Amen. When I got born again, God took a hedge and He put it around me, Brother Sonny. Boy, that hedge has made a difference in my life. Listen, you're looking at a boy. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the hedges that are praying around me. Right before I got up to preach, I told my mom and my girlfriend, I said, y'all better pray. They both grabbed my hand. And the Holy Ghost said, boy, hey, listen, you don't deserve to be here. You don't deserve to have a good family. You don't deserve to be saved. You deserve hell. But you've got hedges tonight. And that's what makes a difference. Difference in your life. And I thank the Lord for that tonight. He said, whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent shall bite him. We know that God, that He said in Genesis that a serpent is a picture of the devil. It's a picture of Satan. Way back in the Garden of Eden, He told Satan that he's a creature and he'd be a scepter. We know that he was to go on the ground. How many of y'all hate snakes? Amen. I'm telling you, this season, I've killed more snakes than I've ever seen in my life. The only kind of good snakes, a dead snake. Somebody say amen. Amen. I hate snakes. I killed 2 snakes last week and 1 this week. They get in bed with me every night when I try to go to sleep. And I cuddle up the little old ball and I say, God help me. I hate those things. Because I do. But that's a picture of the devil. And you know what? Every night when you go to bed, you know who tries to get in bed? You know who tries to sneak in those little cracks in your home? You know who's coming after your young people? Boy, some of you mamas have sent me messages on that Facebook over the years. Since the first time I came here, they've sent me messages of praying for my boy, praying for my daughter, praying for my family. You know why? Because the devil is as real as God is. If the devil ain't real, God ain't real. He's real tonight. Hell is just as real as heaven is. The devil is just as real as God is. And the devil ain't in hell right now. But he's walking to and fro in this earth, trying to rip apart families, trying to break mamas and daddies up, trying to put sin in your life. And if you ain't real careful, you'll let that old slew foot get it in your mind. You can do it without God. I don't want to ever get to the place where I think I can do it without God. I can't make it without Him. I can't preach without Him. I can't sing without Him. I can't go. I can't do anything without God tonight. Because it ain't about me. It ain't about Brother Sonny. It ain't about a ministry. It's all about a man named Jesus. It's all about Him. You can go through this life, never meet me, you'll be fine. Never meet Brother Sonny, you'll be fine. Never meet my family, you'll probably be better off. But you hear me? You go through this thing without God, you won't make it. You won't make it. You've got to have Jesus tonight, and that's it. He's the most important part of everything. And I don't want to vote Him out tonight, amen. I want Him to have His way. So Solomon's writing, and he says that if you get outside of that hedge and you break that hedge, it ain't going to be very long. The serpent's going to bite you. Some of you families, you ain't praying hedges like you once did. You come in on Sunday morning. Brother's trying to get up, preaches his heart out. Amen, preacher. Amen, preacher. Hallelujah. Boy, that's a good servant. And then you go out and you talk bad about the man of God because he got on your pew. You better not talk about the man of God. You better not put your hands on the man of God. You better pray a hedge around that man of God tonight. You have no idea what that man goes through for you. No idea the night that he stays up all night. Stays up at night, begging God to save you, begging God to help you, begging God for a word for you, begging God to do something in this church. Hey, we don't need to talk about the man of God. We need to pray for the man of God tonight. Some of us don't pray hedges like we once did. And it ain't that it all happens at once. It's that slowly we start to break the hedges. It didn't say whosoever takes the hedge away completely. It says whoever breaks the hedges, the serpent shall bite him. You know what that tells this young preacher? That right outside of that hedge, that there is a serpent out there waiting. He's out there looking at you and at me, waiting on one little crack, waiting on one little sin, waiting on one little time, a time where he can get in there and get inside of that thing and break the rest of it down. But you know in Luke chapter 22, oh thank you Lord, I was looking for that verse, Luke 22, 31. Oh, God told Peter, Jesus said, he said, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as a wheat. He said, but I have prayed for thee, that when thou art converted, you strengthen thy brethren. I came to tell you tonight, I didn't drive all the way up here to yell at you. I didn't drive all the way up here to be heard, or to be seen. I came to tell you tonight, that if you don't keep your hedges there, if you don't pray and fast, and pray hell over your family, the devil will come after you tonight. The devil desires to have me. He desires to have you. He desires to have those youngins. He desires to have Brother Sonny. He desires to have my family. Oh, if it's up to the devil, my family wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here. My girlfriend wouldn't be here. If the devil had his way, we'd all be in a mess. We'd all be in hell. But I'm glad tonight that the same God that told Peter, I pray for thee. It's the same one that takes care of me. He's enough tonight. And whatever I need, he can give it. He said, whoso breaketh an hedge, the serpent shall bite him. Boy, it's painful stuff when you get outside of that hedge and you start living without the protection and without the separation. What does a hedge do? A hedge separates. A hedge provides protection to what's inside. I'm glad there's something on the inside of me. Hey, the devil wants it. The devil don't want me to have it. He don't like it. But it's real. It's real. But when I got saved, God lit a fire in me and the flames flickered. But it's never went out. I'm telling you, it's on the inside of my heart. It's burning. Right about now, the devil's fighting. If we could see the spiritual warfare that God goes on around us. We ain't wrestling against flesh and blood. We ain't wrestling against each other. We're on the same team. But there is a battle going on. You may have a smile on your face. You may have a song in your heart. But there's battles that rage. There's wars that go on. And if you're not careful, you break that hedge down and you'll be in a mess tonight. Amen. You'll be in a mess. I've tried to break it. Little by little, tried to break that thing down. Wonder why my mom and daddy wouldn't let me go spend a night with my buddies in high school. I was 18 years old. Why do I got to stay at home in my room? Why do we got to have Bible study? Why do we got to go to church? Why do we got to do that? Oh, but now that I'm on the inside of my own hedge, now that I realize that the hedge is what made a difference in my life, I'll tell you what, honey, you better listen to me. It's a whole lot better on the inside of the hedge looking out than the outside of the hedge looking in. There's joy. There's hope. There's peace. There's love in there. You break that hedge, honey, the devil will rip the rest of it down. He'll take your joy, your peace, everything good in your life. He'll take it away, and then you won't have any time, anybody to protect you. Little young people, every day, breaking those hedges, Mom and Daddy got too many rules. I thank God for those rules. Mom and Daddy, they don't like me going over there. I thank God my mom and daddy didn't make me go everywhere that my friends wanted me to go. Because this past week, had some people in nursing school invite me to go out to eat afterwards. Got my truck to go. Holy Ghost said, mm-mm. You ain't going there. I said, Lord, it's just my friends. They're just, we're going to talk about nursing stuff. God said, nuh-uh, boy. They're not arguing. I said, okay, Lord. And I drove on home. Next day, they came in talking about how they got drunk. They was up there drinking. I'm thankful for the hedges that are in my life. I'm so thankful that when the devil gets it in his mind that he wants me, he can only go so far. He said, whoa, whoa. That air, he used to be easy to get. I can't even get near him now. Because God, the Holy Ghost, has put hedges around this boy. I'm just going to follow God. Every time the devil comes after me, hey, there's a hedge. He can't see me. There's a hedge. It separates me. It protects me. I can preach because of it. I can live for God because of it. It makes a difference in my life.
Amen. Amen.
And I'm wired to it, amen. I'm wired to it. But you know what really burdens me? Is young people. That instead of thanking God for those hedges, kick against them every day. Instead of saying, God, thank you for a mama. Thank you for a daddy. Thank you for a wife and a husband. Thank you for a girlfriend that loves the God, that loves the Lord. Thank you for a good Holy Ghost mom and a dad and a family and a church and a pastor that loves me. But instead, we break them down. We try to, hey, you better listen. There's too many young boys, too many young girls. God's gave you a good person to be with. God's put a new thing in your life. But you're trying to peek out of that hedge. You're trying to break a little piece off and see what's on the outside. The outside will hurt you. Amen. It'll hurt you. Some of you mamas need to get back to that prayer closet where you used to get down before God and say, God, I don't want my son to go to hell. I don't want my daughter to go to hell. I don't want my family to be broken up because it's by the grace of God that we're not in a jail. Our family, our wife ain't running around. Our friends ain't running. It's by the grace of Almighty God that we have what we have. I remember when I was a little boy, brother, in the middle of the night, I'd wake up thinking that the roof was leaking on my head. And it's my mom and my daddy stretched out over me like Elijah was over that little old boy. Stretched out over the big old tears flowing off of me. Hey, saying, God, don't let this boy go to hell. I know the devil wants him. I know the devil desires him. But you hear me? I'm here tonight because of the hedges that are in my life, honey. Amen. That's why I'm here. Some of you young people need to stop kicking against the hedge and start thanking God for it. Because not everybody has a mama that loves them and a daddy that cares for them. Not everybody has it. You go to some of those people that your van picks up. Those little old kids, snot-nosed kids, they got to kick the beer cans out of the way to get in their bed at night. God help us. Our mama loves us. Our daddies love us. They bring us to the house of God. They teach us right from wrong. They tell us how to love God. Teach us how to worship. I thank God for that tonight. Amen. The devil's coming. It ain't a matter of if the devil comes. It's a matter of when. You hear me? It ain't a matter of if the devil's coming to your house. He will come. He will be there. He will try. Every demon of hell will come after you. But if you don't have your hedges the right way, he'll be able to get you. It'll be painful and it'll hurt. It'll be scary. I want to flip over to Job chapter 1 tonight. Let's look at a hedge. Let's look at a hedge tonight. And I want to ask you this question. My subject tonight, my title, my thought. I want to ask you this. How strong are the hedges in your life? How strong are the hedges that are in your life? We find a man here by the name of Job. And we find that the devil came after him. And that the devil went before God one day. And the sons of God came walking up to God one day, a council meeting in verse number 10. And the Bible said, or in verse number 6 rather, it says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves up before the Lord. And Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered unto the Lord and said, from going to and fro the earth and from walking up and down in it. I want you to understand tonight that Job had lived for God all these years. Job was the most blessed man in this country, in this land. He had wife. He had family. He had kids. He had cattle. He had land. He had everything this world had to offer. But you hear me tonight. When the devil came to Job, listen, the devil went to God first. And God said, you can try everybody else and they'll fail me. He said, but hast thou considered my servant Job? He recommended Job. But first of all, let me ask you this. If the devil was looking for somebody to come to, does God trust you enough? But I said, devil, go ahead. They'll trust me anyway. What a recommendation. See, preachers, when they want me to come preach, they'll always call my pastor first. And I hope to God my pastor says good things. I think he will. Because I've had a pastor that said bad things about me when a preacher called. And he might have been right. I don't know. But now my preacher says good things. And I hope when they hear the name Aaron calls me, they think of God. They think of good things. Because this thing ain't about me. I'm a pilgrim passing through this place and I won't be here very much longer according to God's time frame. But I want you to understand, whenever my body's laying in a casket, up in front of an old-fashioned church, and the man of God stands up behind the pulpit, Brother Brandon, I hope he can say, that boy right there loved God. That boy made a difference in my life. That boy was a blessing to me. That boy knew how to pray. He knew God. He was real tonight. I want to be recommended. But what a recommendation. God said, hast thou considered my servant Job? There's none like him. He said, he's of God and man, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And Satan said, but God, he said, verse number 10, look what he said. He said, hast thou not made an hedge about him and about his house and of all that he hath on every side? You know what that means? That means that before Satan went to God, he went to Job's house. And he went over here and he tried to get in. And he went over there and he tried to get in. And he went over here and he tried to get in. And he went over there. He tried everywhere in the world. And he went before God. God said, I recommend Job. He said, I can't get him. He said, I've already been there. You got a hedge on every side. He'd already been there. First of all, I'd like to say, if you take a note, stop. First of all, I'd like to say, the devil knows how strong your hedges are. You can hide it from me. I'll probably never find out. You can hide it from this man of God. And he may never find out. Young people, you can hide it from your mom and your daddy. But God knows. God knows, God knows. When God came to Adam in the book of Genesis, he said, Adam, where art thou? But he still knew where he was. Amen. Y'all didn't ask that question because he didn't know where he was. He just wanted him to say, Lord, I'm right here. I'm right here, God. That's all God wants some of you to do, is to realize you need to quit running away from God and run to God. You need to quit trying to rebel against God and get on fire for God. But listen, where's the people tonight that will say, I don't care if my mama does it. I don't care if my preacher does it. I don't care what my family does. I'm going to have a hedge around me tonight. Because the devil's been to your property before tonight's service, scoping out one place to come in. Let me ask you that tonight. What's that one place in your life? What's that one sin? That one person you don't need to be around? That one thing that slowly but surely is breaking that hedge that your mom and daddy prayed around you and God's placed around you? Breaking it apart And the devil ain't a million miles away. He's right here. He's in Glendale Springs. He's in Morganton. He's in your home. He's everywhere tonight, walking to and fro in the earth as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And if you're not careful tonight, you may hide it from me and your mama. You may hide it from everybody else. But the devil knows how much you pray. He knows how much you read. He knows how much you fast. He knows how close to God you are. And some of us are just to the point where we don't have the hedges that we once had. And we've got people that say, well, preacher, why is that happening to me? I had a lady at work this past weekend, had to get her own husband committed to a psychiatric place. Got strung out on drugs. And she said, preacher, why is this happening to me? And I said, you don't pray. You don't read. You don't come to church. Your sister brings your kids to church. I said, you got to get in there.
That's right.
You got to get in there and get prayed up. Yeah. Those things won't happen as easily.
That's right.
And this morning, we was walking out of Sunday school back here. We got doors up here, and I walked out. And I saw her walking up the side. I said, whoop.
Yeah.
She started crying during the offering. She was under so much conviction. I came back up from taking the offering up, and she's just bawling. I said, God, get her. Get her, God. Get her. My pastor got done preaching. And there she went to the altar and got down and started begging God. But you know what got me? So she's got 5 little kids. And those little kids, instead of the parents gathering around the mama, or the mama gathering around that little mama got down and those kids all gathered around a big circle around her. Big old tears wiping. Looked back and said, preacher, come pray with mama. I said, okay. Parents, listen to me. It not ought to be that way. If it's that way in your family, God can fix that too. But it's your job to pray hell off your youngin. It's your job to pray the devil away from your kid. It ain't your kid's job to pray for your family and to lead your house. It's your job to do it. Amen. The devil knows how strong your hedges are. He'd already been there. He'd already seen it. There's been times in my life, brother, my hedges ain't been where they needed to be. My hedges have been broken, and it didn't take very long when I got bit by the serpent. I don't want that. It hurts. It's hard. But I want you to understand, if the devil's biting you tonight, you can get back in there, prayer closing. You can get back in touch. You can say, God, I want the same hedges that I once had. God will build them. Not only did the devil know how strong his hedges was, but in verse 12, we find out that a strong hedge is what makes all the difference. God told Satan, he said, okay, I got a hedge about him on every side. He said, but everything that Job has is in your control. Just don't touch him. He said, everything he's got is in your control. You know what God did? Picked up that hedge. In verse 12, he did. And starting in verse 13 down through verse 19, you know what happened to old Job? He lost everything he had except for his wife. And we know she wasn't that much of a blessing. Amen. He lost everything he had. And even his own wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? Just give up on him. Hey, look what happened. The hedge is gone. Your family's gone. Your cattle's gone. Your land and everything you got's gone. You know what happened? God took the hedge away. If God would do that in our lives, oh God, help us. I don't want God to do that. Boy, it scares me. It don't happen all at once. But it happens when you close the door in your prayer study. When you close that Bible. When you start missing on Sunday night and Wednesday night. You start talking bad about the preacher. And every single day you start breaking that hedge down. And before you know it, you'll start losing things. And it may not be your family, but it'll be your joy and your peace. and the song in your heart, and the tear in your eye, and the raise and the spring in your hand, and all the good things of God in your life. If your daddies don't pray for your family, you ought to start now. If your mamas don't pray for those youngins, you ought to start now. If the whole church, listen to me, if the whole church don't pray for your pastor, you better start now, because the devil ain't going to give up until his time's done. He ain't going to quit. He ain't going to leave you alone. But you can build those hedges that will make a difference tonight.
Amen.
It'll make a difference. Every morning, when my mama wakes me up, she'll tell me and my dad bye. She'll go out, and I'll stand at the door, and I'll watch her get in the car, and I'll say, "Mama, I pray my mama will have a good day today. God, keep her safe. Returning that favor they did for me when I was a kid." I look over at my daddy's white truck and I say, "God, please let my daddy be safe today. Let him tell people about Jesus." I say, "God, my girlfriend lives an hour away, but I pray, God, you'd use her today. I need that girl. God, if you'll use her today and use me, I promise you, God, I'll give you the glory." And I stopped doing that last year. One morning, I just figured I'd roll over in bed. Boy, I had the most terrible day you could ever imagine. Because our hedges got to be strong. Mom and Daddy and Brittany, would you come here? I'll just stand right here. I want you to understand something tonight about this preacher. I want you to understand that tonight I'm here and you're listening to me yell at you and scream and preach and spit and everything that I can do to get you to understand what I want you to understand. But long before I got here tonight, you just get to see me and hear me. But all the time in the background, God, touch him. God, anoint my boy. God, I love Aaron. God, use him. Anoint him, touch him. The devil wants him, God, but don't let the devil have him. And this whole time I'm preaching, they're building hedges. And you know why I can preach and have liberty and people get saved and people get hit because of me? God showed me a long time ago, it ain't because of me. It ain't got nothing to do with me. It's because of people that love me. The people that care enough about me to get down and say, "God, please protect him. God, use him. God, keep the demons off of him." If you could only understand and imagine the battles that rage in the mind of a man of God. I never understood it. I never understood it. I always thought they were just complaining and they just, no wonder, I always thought preachers were lazy because that's all they did was passion. They didn't work another job. I always thought that preachers were, they were just like everyday people, and we are. God just asked more of us. But the night that I surrendered my call to preach, 3 o'clock in the morning, it started. And if it wasn't for these three people right here, and a little old nursing home in the middle of Hickory, little old people down there, you know what they're doing right now? Some of them can't even get down to pray. But they lay in that bed every night at this time because I know I preach all the time at this time during the week. And they say, "God, I pray for Preacher Aaron." And all these behind the scenes hedge building that goes on, it's what lets the glory of God fall when a meeting comes around. When revival comes, I don't want to just come to revival to get hooked up. I don't want to be hooked up when revival comes. Amen. I don't want to come to revival to get close to God. I want to be close when revival gets here so I can be revived by the power of God. Some of us need to learn to get hooked back up before we come to church instead of waiting until we get to church to get cleaned up. It'd be real amazing. You hear me? It'd be real amazing what God could do if we'd get hooked up before we even got here. Ruth got more at Boaz's feet than she did out there in the field.
That's right.
laying at his feet. She got more than she ever did out there. When's the last time that you mamas and you daddies got around that altar, got around that young person and said, God, don't let this young person go to hell. God, my family's lost. I said, I broke my heart in the prayer room when you said your family was lost other than your mama. Don't sit down. That broke my heart. But you know what will make the difference? God, my family's lost. They don't love you, Lord. They'll die without you and they'll go to hell if you don't intervene. But God, I want to pray a hedge of protection around them. God, keep them here until they get saved. Boy, you better listen to me. There's people in your family. And they're getting close to that last thread. It's going to be too late. They're lost. They're undone. If they die tonight, they die without God. And it's up to you and me to get a burden and to pray a hedge around them and to say, I will fast. I will invite. I'll do whatever it takes. I'm not going to let my family die without God tonight. Some of us need to get back to that place. A strong hedge makes a difference. And I'm done tonight. I'm going to ask a sister, she'll come to the piano as we all stand tonight, heads bowed and eyes closed.